Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Might be time for Plan B or C or D or E. Hundreds of migrants have been finding their way around the 130 double-stacked shipping containers that were put up around the Yuma border. This happened just hours after Governor Ducey stated how efficiently the border can be made more secure. More info, YumaDailyNews.com. Three Arizona Republicans have been ordered to pay more than $75,000 in legal fees for a defamation suit they lost. It happened in Yuma County. One of those ordered is Congressman Paul Gosar. The judge says the lawsuit the three Republicans originally filed against a political opponent was primarily for purposes of harassment. The Padres have been playing their last game in San Francisco today at 12:45. Tomorrow, the Padres have the day off to get ready to play the Dodgers in their three-day game series. Listen to the games live on AM560 KBLU and get the latest Padres news at YumaDailyNews.com. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
What do Khloe Kardashian and Jared Kushner have in common? Back in a minute with your politics question of the day.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
Polyface Farms, Joel Salatin.
Few how-to books could be more appropriate for our times than MetroFarm, a truly comprehensive manual. MetroFarm makes the whole embedded food system doable.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning MetroFarm. MetroFarm.com.
The government's Payment Protection Program, or PPP loans, cost U.S. taxpayers $953 billion. But according to an Associated Press survey, up to 90% of ethnic minority business owners were unable to secure the loan. In contrast, Daily Mail reports companies owned by billionaires like Kanye West and Jay-Z received millions in government PPP loans. And that in virtually every case, Hollywood A-listers who received PPP loans have been let off the hook for paying back the full amount they were loaned. Question: do you think it is fair or unfair that taxpayers were left to pick up the tab for Khloe Kardashian and Jared Kushner's combined $4,246,524 in PPP loans?
Good morning, Yuma. This is Kimberly Kale with Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and as always, we have Russ Clark in the studio. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. Going good today?
Of course.
Yeah? Are you behaving?
No.
Okay, well, you're not supposed to say that because we have a very special guest in with us this morning.
Oh.
We have Yosi Heinck with Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. And so just ignore that Russ isn't behaving. He is. I promise.
Now, how long have you been over at Game and Fish?
I've been with the department for 5.5 years.
Have you been in Yuma the whole time?
No, I actually started on the Barry Goldwater Range East, the bombing range.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really? How is that?
You look up all the time and run zigzag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's different. It's actually beautiful over there. Yeah. It's very green and lush when it rains.
Have you ever get to see the A-10s come in and shoot tanks?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They entertained me quite a bit.
It makes you so happy that you're on their side.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they're ferocious.
They are. And then with the new
F-35s, yeah. I've not seen them do practice. I've seen the F-16s and the A-10s come in. And the F-16s come in with a little bitty 20-millimeter cannon. Which is kind of fun to watch. But then when they come in with the 30-millimeter A-10s, it's like, whoa,
that
is scary.
Yeah, you can usually hear that stuff being dropped from quite a ways away.
It's kind of fun to see.
It is. It's really cool.
That's not what you were expecting when you started at Game and Fish.
I mean, I kind of knew that was my position starting out.
Okay.
But the military, you know, the people at the range management office, they really took me in and showed me around so that it wasn't too much of a shock.
Okay.
So So it was pretty cool. Yeah,
if you hear noise.
Yeah. If you hear a boom, this is probably noise. What it is.
But you know, it's all about the bear, and people wonder about the animals and all about the, you know, them doing live fire. The live fire and everything they take up is at a very, very small footprint of the entire range. The range is massive. But the where they actually do anything like that is very small footprint.
And they...
It's all barrier to keep everyone away from it.
They
That's
have
all.
A team of biologists I and know. GIS specialists.
You guys drive them crazy.
Yeah, no, they definitely take their precautions to make sure their impact is as low as possible.
Even before they do construction or anything, if they're going to do something, they go out and do lizard counts and how many snakes.
Biological surveys. Not only that, archaeological surveys.
And they'll relocate. Oh, that's right, they do.
Yeah.
Indian artifacts, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they'll relocate any biology that they need to.
Or they'll move the whatever project they were planning on completely if it's going to do too much damage. Okay. Yeah.
And then you go out and do bat counts too.
Yeah, I've done bat counts.
How many
bat counts?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's super cool.
I love
there's
bats.
There's so much for a bombing range. You know, you would think it's like the moon. There's so much biology and wildlife on there.
Oh, amazing amount. Because it's basically undisturbed.
It's beautiful. You're right. It's limited to public access, basically non-existent, other than the people who are there for work.
Right.
And so a lot of that property is
or
pristine.
Somebody that's lost.
Yeah.
You got to be very lost to be out there, but
yes.
And you're in trouble right away because you're going to run out of water. But it's a dangerous place if you're not prepared.
Our desert, as beautiful as it is, it can be terrifying, you know, if you aren't prepared because of the temperature extremes, the potential lack of water, just how hostile our vegetation is. And everything has thorns and spikes.
And if you call 911 from some of those places, by the time you get a helicopter out there, it's going to be an hour.
Calling 911, is there even signals out there?
Well, you'd be surprised. Usually Border Patrol are the ones who get a lot of those calls right away.
But you've been to Camp Grip.
I believe I've been nearby, yes.
Okay. But even to get a helicopter to Camp Grip, because it's so isolated, by the time they fire up the helicopter and warm it up, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time.
You'd have to hope that there's already one in the air.
Yeah, you got to have one there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's isolated. It's amazing that, you know, people don't think that we're that isolated, that out there. But we have it out there. You get to see all the beauty.
It is
that why
gorgeous.
You joined?
You know, I knew I just had to be outside, and I wanted to work with animals of some sort, whether domestic or wild. So working with wild is pretty amazing.
Even the animals don't really appreciate your existence.
You know, we work really hard to keep them.
They will bite you.
Oh, yes. But that's okay. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be afraid of us and keep their distance, and we're supposed to be respectful of them
as
well.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of nice. So you no longer at the Berrygo Water Range?
Nope. I did a couple years on the range, and then as soon as a position opened up in Yuma, I moved over. My family's here.
Mm-hmm.
So it really worked out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm out of Yuma now.
now you got all the family to take care of.
Yeah. No, I love it. You know, they say Yuma's like an acquired taste. You see so many people coming and going. I don't get it, but maybe it's because I grew up here.
Oh, you did grow up here.
Yes,
okay,
I grew up here.
So you understand Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and something about Yuma, and I was told when I moved here in 94. I'm not from here. I moved here in 1994. But... And I raised my kids there. And something that people told me is a lot of kids will leave, but they always end up coming back, or many do.
Yeah.
They end up coming back to Yuma, which most other towns can't say that. They don't go back there, but they do. There's something nice about Yuma.
Yeah, I definitely didn't plan on coming back, to be completely honest. I left to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I was just brought back, and I'm happy. I'm happy to be with my parents. I feel like the older you get, you learn to appreciate
Do you live with them in the same house?
No, I don't.
So
but
save,
we live really
could,
close by.
But you could save money, is what I'm saying. You know, you could look at all the money you could save.
I think it's also nice to keep the healthy boundaries as well.
It's more than the animals that bite, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It may not be comfortable, but look at all the money you'd save. You know, you could have a better savings account.
Yeah, that is true, but...
Yeah, and it wouldn't work out.
You want to exchange... I don't know if I can switch up my sanity as well. Again, healthy boundaries. I love my parents.
So,
I do.
So what is your function now that you're in Yuma?
I've always been, since I started with the department, I'm a wildlife manager. We're state-certified peace officers.
Right.
So the way I explain it to people, we're like DPS. We can enforce any law in the state, but we mostly... specialize on game of fish.
But people don't really believe that.
No,
they don't.
But you're the real deal.
Yeah.
And people and she looks like the real deal. When, that's why I told her when Russ said he wasn't behaving, I'm like, she walked in here. She's ready to go.
But Kim, I guarantee you it's happened to her.
I'm sure it has.
People will look at you as like you're a security guard. And there's not much you can do, and they'd be very mistaken.
Well, you'd be surprised. Most hunters are actually very respectful, and they'll ask, you know, exactly how far does your authority go? Most people are very, the hunters are mm-hmm. very respectful, and we'll tell them, and they're like, wow, really? I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's you see more of the disrespect on the highways when people just speed right by. But we have full law enforcement authority. You know, we can pull people over. We do DUI investigations, OUI investigations. That's like a DUI on the water.
So you had to go through police academy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the only way to get certified in the state.
Yeah, to become a peace officer. That's right.
Right. And but now your position is with Arizona or with federal?
No, we're state peace officers with
state,
Arizona.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So you're forced to be reckoned with. But you need that authority because with the hunters, if they're doing something improper to confiscate weapons or to confiscate things, I mean, you're going to have some police authority.
Oh, yeah. And you think about it. Hunting exists throughout the entire state. And people hunt one unit in one part of the state, and then they can hop into the next one in another part of the state.
Right.
It's, again, that's the nice thing is we can go on fire patrols up north, you know, when it's really, really dry and the forest on fire. Or we can do watercraft patrols on the Colorado River during 4th of July. Deer patrols out east.
So did you know growing up it would be forest fires, snakes, and things that bite you? Did you know? Did you know you wanted to?
I feel like I've learned a lot. Honestly. I don't think growing up here, I knew exactly what Arizona had to offer. But that's what makes it exciting.
But you went right to all the danger stuff.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I guess I don't think about it like that.
That's right. You need to take a break anyway.
Okay. Well, with that, we better take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Interest rates are skyrocketing. Inflation is only going to get worse.
War seems likely.
Don't believe all that's said in the media. Come back down to earth and let's cut the bull.
Visit Alexander Flightline Mitsubishi and get the real deal on any brand new Mitsubishi. We have plenty to choose from. We know we've got the Mitsubishi for you. Get your certified pre-owned Mitsubishi with us and make your first payment in 45 days. Only at Alexander Flightline Mitsubishi in Yuma.
Hey Gen Z, talking to you. Did you know that HIV is still a problem in the US? Did you know that HIV is not the same as AIDS? Did you know that all genders are vulnerable to HIV? Did you know that current treatments for HIV can prevent the disease from progressing and prevent transmission to others? Did you know that when HIV is undetectable, it is also untransmissible? Did you know that 21% of new HIV cases in the U.S. occur among those ages 13 to 24? Now you know. Get the facts about HIV and get tested. Everyone should get tested at least once as part of routine healthcare. People with higher risk factors should be tested at least once a year. The Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation can help you learn more and find free, fast, confidential testing near you at etaf.org/resources. That's etaf.org to learn more.
We have the world at our fingertips, inspiration in our touch, and power in our hands. Our hands, gentle enough to hold the next generation, yet strong enough to build movements that can change the world. Our hands can build relationships, frame ideas, and empower communities. We have the ability to share and imagine, create and comfort, love and heal the world around us. And it doesn't stop there. Right here, in our hands, we have the power to save a life. If you see a teen or adult suddenly collapse, call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest.
The power is in your hands.
Anthem Foundation is the proud national supporter of the American Heart Association's Hands Only CPR campaign.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with 4 locations to serve all of your tire needs.
An excessive heat warning continues until 8 o'clock this evening with some more dangerous heat if you're going to be spending some time outdoors.
from this morning through the afternoon hours and also into the start of the evening. We'll be clear early today, then a sunny afternoon with winds out of the south and a high temperature all the way up to 110. The heat index may climb as high as 112. Overnight clear with a low of 86. It will be a sunny start to the month of September tomorrow with a high of 106. Some more sun Friday with a high also approaching 106. Then hotter temperatures for the weekend. I'm meteorologist Jeff Maher at the Weather Channel.
We put our lives on the line for our country. We braved the unknown. We did what we were told, and we lit up. Our cigarette packs were as valuable as the packs on our back, maybe more. At one point, cigarettes were part of our daily ration. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. And boy, we were smoking 'em. Bumming a smoke was the norm. It was an escape from the reality of dirt, sweat, and forgetting how many days you were so far from home. Never had to worry so long as you had a light and the smoking lamp was lit. If that was you then, get your lungs screened now. Surviving lung cancer starts with a scan. Learn more at screenyourlungs.org. And thank you for your service. This PSA was made possible by industry funding and guidance from lung cancer patient groups.
The way we use electricity and the way we get charged is changing and will continue to change. That's why I love talking about my Rheem heat pumps and air conditioners. The new Rheem equipment are built with electrical demand in mind, in ACs, heat pumps, and furnaces. If you're in the market for a new AC or heat pump, call Air Central Heating and Cooling, your local Rheem dealer.
Give Air Central a call, or just log on to acyuma.com.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have Yosi Hank with Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So Russ says he has lots of questions, but let's at least get a little
Go ahead.
We've got a big weekend coming up this weekend.
Starting Thursday, actually. Well, some start as early as Wednesday.
So today. Yes.
Yeah.
Today's Wednesday.
Really? Starts to, I thought it was on the 1st.
Yes, the season starts the 1st, but a lot of people start flooding into town on Wednesday and they start with the Eurasian hunting because
They're year round.
Because they don't have the season, right? Yes. Okay, got it.
And it's unlimited.
Because they're pests. We don't like them.
Well, and are they not native? They're not. Okay.
And that's why it is you can get as many as you want. The season is year round. And I mean, people like to get that little bit of a head start before the 1st when they really start scaring them away.
So there's no bag limit or anything
on
them either?
There's no bag limit on the Eurasians only.
Okay.
And you got to identify them before you shoot?
Yes. And that's the other thing is I always walk up to the group.
It's a little late after.
You can see her face. It's too bad it's radio.
You know, it's impressive. You know,
I'm not the first one to ask, obviously.
I talk to them and I'm always expecting at least, you know, they had to make a mistake. At least one or two they shot down that they weren't supposed to.
Right.
They are pretty good. They're pretty good at identifying them in the
air. Not that hard to identify, really, if you pay attention to birds.
Yeah, I feel like it takes a little bit, though. You talk to someone that's brand new, and they're like, how can you tell what you're shooting at? And they definitely have their flight patterns. The tail shape's a little different. The body size is a little different.
Yeah.
But these are little things that, you know, once they're up in the air and they're that much smaller, it definitely takes a little bit of a keen eye to distinguish.
But so you will be out there verifying that they're following the rules.
Yes. I will be out there, our whole Yuma region, the department.
So if somebody does accidentally shoot a bird inappropriately that's not theirs, what is your recommendation?
Okay, so we do have a policy on this. If they shoot a bird out of season, before the season, for example, or they shoot the wrong species, which we do see a lot of, we ask that hunters self-report, and basically what that means is you recognize that you made a mistake. You call yourself into our radio room hotline, and an officer will come and meet you. And at that point, what we do is we issue a written warning for your honesty, for owning up to the mistake. When it starts to become a little, I guess, upsetting as an officer is when you see somebody do something they weren't supposed to from a distance, and then you come and talk to them about it, and they're like, oh, talking about? Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, man, I saw you. And so that's what gets really frustrating. So we really appreciate honesty. Yeah. It goes a long way.
It's also confusing because it doesn't happen often, I'm sure.
The shooting the wrong species.
No, when people are honest up front.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Doesn't, you know.
It's because there's an intimidation. They don't know what kind of trouble they're in.
Yeah. And that's why hopefully getting this out here too, you know, letting you guys know that it would simply be a written warning.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect you at all.
Right. As long as it was an honest mistake.
It is. And most mm-hmm. of, we take all that into consideration.
But now when you approach somebody that's hunting, what is the first thing you're going to do?
So we always identify ourselves, right? Like,
right.
Hey, I'm Officer Hank.
You're pretty easy to identify right now.
Yeah.
You're pretty,
and mind you, I'm not wearing my body vest right now. Yeah, so that makes it even more like, yeah. This is who I am.
I wouldn't mistake you for another fellow hunter.
Yeah, okay. Right. So obviously everyone has a shotgun. So we want to make sure that they're pointing in a safe direction. Mm-hmm. Some people don't get the hint and they keep hunting while you're trying to talk to them. But most
really?
Wow.
Most people will take, okay, like let's, I want to make it as fast as possible. Right. I want to do the check and let you get back to what you're doing. So we want to check the shotgun, make sure it can carry no more than 3 rounds in the entire gun.
So that's something you do right away. You'll grab the firearm, make sure that that's not in violation.
Or if it's a break open shotgun, uh-huh. a break action, I can mm-hmm. tell right away that can only fit 2.
Right.
Yeah. So because we're hunting migratory birds here, you can fit no more than 2 in the magazine and 1 in the chamber. So you need a plug, and most shotguns need a plug.
Right.
So once the shotgun's out of the way, now we're checking licenses, mm-hmm. making sure they have their $5 bird stamp, which you can purchase online, and a valid Arizona hunting license. Whether it's a short term, which we see a lot of our California hunters get, it's usually a 2-3 day license, or your year long license that a lot of our residents get. And then we're also looking at birds, depending on how early it is in the morning. Some people have a few, some people are completely limited out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people ask, how do you know they're shooting the right thing? Another one of our laws is you have to keep a fully feathered wing attached
yep.
to every bird if you do start cleaning mm-hmm. them out in the field.
Do some people do it then? They'll go ahead and clean them while they're hunting?
No. Usually they do it at the very end.
At the very end. Okay.
When they're mm-hmm. done, or they're... people in their party will still be trying to finish up their limit and mm-hmm. they'll start cleaning up.
Okay.
But I've definitely run into it before when they completely breast the thing out and it's sitting in the marinade ready to go, you know, and at that point, how can I tell? We can't tell.
Right.
You know, if that's 15 so, white wings.
So if somebody's going to barbecue right there, that's not acceptable.
So that the way the law is written is they have to have a fully feathered wing attached until they reach their final destination.
Okay.
So, in theory, if you have the fire ready to go and you were going to cook them right then
that's
and there.
That's your destination.
That's your final destination.
Okay. So, you'd be lenient on that.
Yes.
But not if they cleaned 50 birds for 5 people, you know, or whatever the limits are.
And that's,
just
yeah.
Just clean what you're going to barbecue.
So, we are speaking of limits, right? So, it is 15 birds in combination, of which no more than 10 can be white-winged dove.
Per person. Per license or whatever.
Yeah, per individual.
Yeah.
And so what we like and what we ask is that people separate their birds because it can start to get really confusing to you. You know, when you do have 5 hunters and you have just a pile of birds, I mean, there could be one really good shot in the group that's getting all the birds for everyone.
Yeah.
So we just appreciate if people keep them separate.
That wouldn't mm-hmm. be me.
Me neither.
Yeah.
That's on me. So you're there to check the firearm first, and then the license, and then the birds, and
yeah.
just see?
Or in any order, really. Whatever the officer's most comfortable with.
And mm-hmm. then you say, have a great day, and move on.
As long as there's nothing wrong, yeah. I just want to kick them loose and let them get back to what they're doing.
Yeah, and if there is something wrong, I mean, let's say something's improper, it's going to take a little bit more of a conversation.
For sure. Obviously, depending on the totality of the circumstances, mm-hmm. we can issue verbal warnings, written warnings, or citations.
Okay. But nothing where you're going to confiscate firearms or anything, or is that a possibility
that
too?
That is always possible, depending on the severity of what's going on.
Okay.
But yes, that has happened in the past.
I went deer hunting with some friends, and you know, we were driving through an area where there was someone like yourself that was stopping and just checking firearms. Somebody was riding along with a loaded firearm. And I know that got attention. I don't know what the final outcome was, but if there's somebody in a loaded firearm traveling deer hunting in a moving vehicle, what is that a confiscation at that point? Is that, or is that just a citation? Or
I think that really depends on not only the time of day. Yeah. Were they out at night?
No, it was first thing in the morning. It was just getting started. Yeah.
So that's where we start to get into the take with a vehicle, which is against the law. And by take, it can be harass, pursue, kill. You know, take is an all-encompassing word. So if they have now the means to kill an animal because the gun is loaded, ready to go, and they're driving down the road in a vehicle, that can technically be considered take with a vehicle, right?
Right.
So we just... Most hunters are, you know, only for, even for safety reasons. No one wants to keep a loaded, high-powered rifle in their vehicle going down a bumpy road.
Mm-hmm.
Border Patrol doesn't even do that.
We don't even do that. So it goes into gun safety and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And also, again, it's like.
But it could that result in a confiscation? Could it be if it was.
If that was the only thing that they were doing. It just depends on so much on their background. Have they done it before? Right. Are they common violators?
Or was it freshly fired? they were shooting it out the window or something?
Was there animals that were killed? There's just so much.
That goes on. But it definitely takes a little time sorted out.
Yes.
So it may take a while to have a proper discussion.
Yes. We want to make sure we get all the facts straight, right? Yeah. We're not out there to just issue citations and nail people. We want to make we're trying to be as fair as possible and keep people as safe as possible.
Yeah. You need to take a break.
Okay, with that, let's take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Hi, I'm Mandy Moore. Stand Up To Cancer is closer than ever before to achieving its mission to make every cancer patient into a long-term survivor. To learn more and get Advantage Miles, go to standuptocancer.org/American Airlines.
When it's hot, the last thing you want is your home's AC to quit on you. At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our team of comfort specialists take the frustration out of the equation. From simple repairs to more complex fixes, we'll get you cool and comfortable quickly. Just call 928-783-4242 or visit onehouryuma.com.
Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime. Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime.
Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
When a child is diagnosed with cancer, the last thing parents should have to worry about is how to pay for it. This is a St. Jude moment.
Calvin got diagnosed June 10th of 2018. He has rhabdomyosarcoma sarcoma, a soft tissue cancer. One oncologist told us if it was my son, we'd go to St. Jude. And within 24 hours, we were on a plane headed here. It's hard to fathom what St. Jude has done for us. They've really given our family hope. For the donors out there, it's just amazing. I never thought we would be in this place. And it's people like you that help us and help St. Jude provide for a family like ours. St. Jude is like the gold at the end of a rainbow. And we are so grateful and thankful for everything.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
After spending years in foster care, Lexi worried that she and her brother were too old to be adopted. Thankfully, the siblings were adopted, with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I love teenagers. To see how brave Lexi was and how she opened herself up to being in a family, all of a sudden, she's holding my hand and calling me Mom. It was really special.
Every child, no matter their age, deserves to grow up in a safe, permanent home.
Children at every age experience challenges. Teenagers are more complex than young children, but in the best ways.
You're never too old for family. Learn how you can help children still waiting to be adopted from foster care at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, we have Ross Clark. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning.
Good morning. And this morning, joining us in the studio, we have Yosie Hank with Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Real quick, before we get back to the show, I do have a couple of chamber announcements, like I always do at the bottom of the hour. The big one is just a reminder that our expo is coming up October 28th and 29th. Booth spaces are well over half sold out at this point. So if you're thinking about getting a booth at the expo, you might want to be doing that very quickly. Also, want to do a big thank you to Yuma Investment Group, who is our expo sponsor this year. So thanks so much to them. They're so supportive in the community, and we are grateful that they are sponsoring our expo this year. And with that, let's get back. We got a big weekend this weekend.
I'm going to be at the expo.
I know you are. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
I'm an entry.
And you're bringing a car, right?
I am, you know, and I was hesitant because I didn't know if I'd get the things done to modify this car in time for the expo, but it's all coming together. So we'll have all the pieces to put it together. We'll just see, what it looks like when I get it there, if it'll be, the paint's dry. I don't know.
Well, and then another car that's going to be there is the Caballeros.
The one that they're auctioning
off. The one that they're auctioning off, which I hear is a Mustang this year, a red Mustang.
They've done a few Mustangs in the past.
Yeah.
They always give away a car every year at Midnight to Aces.
Last year's was great, but I'm super excited to see this year's.
Yeah, so yeah. They'll be there for that. And ours is just demonstration purposes for our shop on some of the work we do on off-road type vehicles. But it'll be an interesting conversation. We're looking forward to it.
Speaking of off-road vehicles, Yosie and I were talking off-air.
Yeah.
About that is something else that they really watch out for out there is, so are your off-road vehicles properly registered? Are you driving them on approved?
Mine's a street legal car.
Yeah, I know it is. It's
titled and insured and all that stuff. What would you be looking for in off-road to see if...
Yeah, so someone's driving an off-highway vehicle, so these side-by-sides, these quads, you know.
We see tons of them out here, man. It's very popular.
Super popular. And, I mean, the weather's going to start to cool down here very soon, and the winter visitors will start to trickle in. So off-highway vehicle use just skyrockets. Yeah. We want to make sure everything's properly registered. People have their OHV decals. If they're being used on street-legal roads, that they're licensed or insured, and that the driver actually has a driver's license as well. It'd be basically everything you need to drive on, like you do normally on the road. That's what you're going to do on an OHV.
But on OHV that's not street legal, that's strictly off-road, you don't need a license, do you?
No. If it's strictly not street legal, you're taking it on like state trust land, BLM properties. Just want to make sure you follow the rules of the land.
It's okay to even be drunk then, right?
No, definitely not. He could still be pulled over for DUI.
He's trouble, isn't he?
Yeah.
I was just testing you.
Yeah. Like, he walked in here and called me trouble, but I think he got that backwards.
Yeah.
She's been watching for you now. You know that, right?
I'm good.
You're going to be out there, Officer Hank, but you know me.
I know, right?
But unfortunately, that, off-roading is generally associated with having a good time and vacation or day off or a weekend, relaxation, and... Sometimes that happens where somebody will be not in a condition to drive and still think, well, it's just an off-road vehicle. What harm could that be?
Yeah, it does happen. And unfortunately, I mean, I would hope that someone, if they have had a few drinks, that they have someone with them that can take over, a sober operator.
Yeah.
Just keep in mind that you're not the only one out there. There's probably other families out there recreating as well, and we don't want to put anyone in danger.
Okay. So this is probably going to sound like a very naive question, but I am not familiar. I'm going to admit I don't go off-roading and I don't do dove hunting. And so how do you keep the two of them safe when they're both out there in the desert?
Well, you only shoot birds. You don't shoot anything.
Well, yes, I understand that.
Yeah, and there's a certain etiquette, I would say like a dove hunting etiquette too, right? Okay. I mean,
Yuma is the dove hunting capital of the world. There will be hundreds of people lined up on fields. You want to make sure you're not shooting across roads, right? That's kind of the obvious one. There's
so including the off-road trails?
Well, and it's illegal anyway to shoot across
roads. I know it's illegal to shoot across roads.
So it's the law applies to maintain roads, but, you know, people hunting a lot of these agricultural, they're these little two-track roads.
Right.
That's technically not illegal. But, again, if you notice there's a lot of traffic or people walking down, just it's common sense.
Don't shoot
across the road. That also includes railway tracks as well, though. That's part of the law.
So you can't shoot across railroad tracks either?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And, again, just a lot of the safety stuff, like you're not shooting down at someone's level, so to speak. You're shooting up into the air, so that shot is going up, and it's, you know, there's no potential of it hitting a human.
Right.
Right.
Things like that.
And what is it, 500 feet away from a house or a dwelling?
So 440 yards, and that's a quarter mile. We want people to shoot at least a quarter mile from any occupied structure. That can be farm, you know, structures where farm equipment is stored. If you have the owner's permission to shoot that close, then you're okay. But if you don't, you need to maintain that quarter mile distance.
Okay. And that's about it, though. And as far as, you know, vehicles and everything, if you're going to hear them if you're hunting, and you know, you're going to see them.
Oh, yeah. Most of the places people are accessing, there's vehicles driving up and down constantly.
Usually associated with hunters, not just off-roading. If you're off-roading, you're not generally going to be near the hunters, I wouldn't think, but maybe.
Usually not. I mean, hunters are out before sunrise, hours before sunrise to get the ideal spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see them as well, you know, in the 3 or 4 hours right before sunset.
Okay.
And I think it's a little too hot this time of year to really see a lot of OHV traffic.
Right.
So usually they won't collide too much.
Right.
I was just curious because, you know, I don't do either one. And
so when you're out there looking for the off-road vehicles, you flag those guys down occasionally, just talk to them?
If they want to stop and talk to me, I'm more than happy to. I won't stop anybody and force them to talk to me unless there's something wrong.
But you see something. When you say something wrong, is he dangerous driving or erratic?
There could be a registration violation. There could be a child under the age of 18 without a helmet on, which is required by law.
Oh, is that required?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So either if they're really little, like if they're 4 or 5, they at least have them in a car seat.
And that's in a side-by-side. Now, I drive a regular street legal car with no helmet. I mean, my kids don't have helmets, but it's good.
If it's a vehicle.
It's a vehicle with a restrained.
Restrained, some sort of, again, like a booster seat if they are that young.
Yeah, 5 years old, booster seat. And then she's got one. She rides up front.
Like you would in a regular car.
It is a regular car, but it just happens to be off-road, too.
Yeah. No, it's the off-highway stuff where we see a lot of the no helmets, the kids just not properly restrained.
But in this state, helmet is optional for 18 and over.
You can do whatever at that point. Once you're over 18, you can wear a helmet or you don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, in California, it's different. And you got to be careful about that. I've known people to get citations for backing their vehicle off the trailer and not having a helmet on.
Yeah,
that's nitpicky.
I know things can be a lot more strict in California. I can't say for sure exactly how strict, but
but just know what the rules are, and if you travel over in the line into California, just know it.
Yes, know that things are different, and that not even California. That includes tribal land as well. For example, we've been talking about dove hunting. Think about, you know, if you do choose to hunt on tribal land, they have their own rules. They require their own license. Work surrounded by military installations. Keep that in mind as well. You know, some of our military installations require you to register your firearms beforehand, things like that. So just be mindful where you're hunting.
And they're pretty well marked. I mean, the military installations, you're not going to be on by mistake.
They do try, but there definitely are spots where, you know, people come in and they use the excuse, I had no idea. At that point, it's like, come on, we all have something on our phone that'll show us land status, right?
Yeah.
So just do your due diligence, I guess.
You need one more.
Okay. Well, break. With that, let's take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
This November, Californians will have a choice between two initiatives on sports betting. What's at stake?
we have a chance to tax and regulate sports betting to fund permanent solutions to our homelessness crisis. That's Prop 27. Prop 27 generates hundreds of millions every year to get people off the streets and into housing. On the other hand, Prop 26, not a dime to solve homelessness or treat addiction. Prop 27 has strong protections to prevent minors from betting and strictly prohibits betting on youth sports. Prop 26, no protections for minors. Prop 27 helps every tribe, including disadvantaged tribes. Prop 26, a money grab for the wealthiest casino tribes, leaving nothing for disadvantaged tribes. The differences are important, and the choice is clear. Vote yes on 27. Ad paid for by Yes on 27, Californians for Solutions to Homelessness and Mental Health Support, a coalition of housing and mental health experts, concerned taxpayers and digital sports, entertainment, and gaming companies. Committee major funding from Penn Interactive Ventures.
We gather together in communities across the nation to remember and honor, to celebrate and support, to light the night. Join us as we lift our lanterns high in order to move toward a world free of blood cancers. Join us as we light the night for a loved one. Join us. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Our mission is to cure leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and myeloma. Our aim is to improve the quality of life of patients and their families. Join us. We are LLS, and when we walk, cancer runs. Join your community and help bring light to the darkness of cancer. Join us as we light the night. Find your local event at lightthenight.org. That's lightthenight.org.
Hello, I'm Jose Hernandez, and I have been using a wheelchair since my accident in 1995.
My name is Andrea Delzell, and I've been using a wheelchair since I was 5 years old.
I guess if I had one message for the general public, it would be that I appreciate your help, but please, ask first.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that I've actually got everything under control.
I think people get nervous. They don't know how to act, so they pretend I'm not there.
What probably bothers me the most is when waiters talk to my companion and not directly to me.
I think everyone with a disability can relate to that parking spot problem.
We know you're just parking in that disabled spot for a second, but please, don't.
We're just looking for the same respect and consideration as everyone else.
United Spinal Association is dedicated to enhancing the quality of life of people living with spinal cord injuries and disorders. Download our disability etiquette booklet at unitedspinal.org.
No child should wonder where or when they'll get their next meal. Sadly, that is the reality for the 1 in 6 children facing hunger in America today. For the month of September, Jack in the Box is partnering with No Kid Hungry to fundraise for hunger relief. Visit your local Jack in the Box this September and donate $1 to receive a coupon for a free curly fry with any future menu purchase. 100% of funds raised will be donated to No Kid Hungry. This September, stop by a Jack in the Box and help feed kids one curly fry at a time.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Of course.
With lots of questions. Lots of questions today. That's okay. That's good. I'm like, because I'm not as familiar. I don't have a hunting background, and we don't go off-roading. So
you'll have to do both. You know that. Just to tag along. You know, find a hunting party and go along with them. You'll have a good time.
I don't think I could do it. I'm sorry.
You don't have to pull. You don't have to shoot.
I don't know. I don't. I like.
You don't want to see the bird.
I like to pretend that the meat on my table was not once alive.
You know.
I should introduce Yossi Hank from Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You make a really good point. You shouldn't be ashamed of the background you grew up with. I didn't have a hunting background either.
Okay.
It's never too late. Obviously, we're never going to force anyone, like, let's go kill something.
Right.
But there's so many ways to, I guess, learn and learn with people that are on a similar level.
Yeah.
For example, we have a woman's dove hunt that happens every year. And these are women of all ages, 18 and older, that want to learn more, about dove hunting in general. And they might have some knowledge or they might have no knowledge at all. And it's, I believe, a series of courses that occur once a week leading up to the dove hunt. And then once, you know, the dove hunt happens, they all go out together And I mean, if you decide at that point, you know, that's not really what I want to do, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just such a great way to get women exposed in a comfortable environment that makes them feel safe. So don't ever feel discouraged if it is something you want to explore.
No, I'm not. And it's funny because people, when they hear that I don't hunt or whatever, and that I'm just, I people then assume that I am anti. And I'm like, that is not the case. I had an uncle who was a very avid hunter, and I ate a lot of venison growing up. I even had a bear roast once. and a lot of wild turkey and that kind of stuff. Totally, you know, that I think people who like to hunt, great, you know. I just have this thing about, like I said, I like to pretend that the meat on my table was not once alive. But speaking of which, there's a lot of events coming up this weekend, you know, that.
Yes, so many events. So as we've been talking, the Dove Hunt opens Thursday, September 1st. Be ready for a lot of people to come into town. Our hotels and local businesses are really gearing up. They're putting out welcome signs, you know, to make hunters and visitors coming into town feel as welcome as possible. And this includes our locals as well. September 3rd is going to be a big day this year. We have a lot of events going on. We have the Clint Curry Memorial Youth Dove Hunt, sponsored by the Yuma Valley Rod and Gun Club in Dome Valley. We have the Desert Doves, which I was talking about, the Women's Hunt Group. They're going to have their hunt. The Yuma Valley Rod and Gun Club is also hosting a barbecue at the Civic Center, which starts at 4:30. And the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Cook-Off will also be at the Civic Center between 1:30 and 4:30. And for those who are interested in helping us clean up after the dove hunt wraps up, we will have a cleanup event Saturday, September 17th from 6 to 10 a.m. And our staging site is at Sprague Sports Parking Lot.
Now, see, that I would be all about. I'm all about that.
Yeah. And we do get a lot of people, actually, who want to help out. And, you know, most hunters are great, honestly. They do a good job because they want to keep coming back every year.
Most hunters understand that if they don't take care of the environment, they can't continue hunting.
Yeah, or the access will be taken away because it's not fair for a lot of these private landowners that allow access. And then, you know, they come at the end, 2 weeks later, it's just littered. It's just that I wouldn't like that if that were me.
Right.
I think we all understand how important the dove hunt is for our community.
Absolutely. Is that they're you know, being, you know, running the Chamber of Commerce, it's huge for our local businesses.
Yes, it is. I mean, the dove hunt generates over $1 million in revenue for our local economy every year, which is
amazing.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
And it's really cool to see. It's almost like the kickoff of our winter snowbird season, seeing how our local restaurants really start to prosper, our local hotels really start to flourish. You know, seeing them get booked up.
Speaking of which, do you know, is Cretine's doing the cleaning again
they
this
are
year?
Okay. On the 1st. So if you bring in your limit or any birds you harvest on the 1st, they will clean them for you. And I believe they'll even cook them for you.
Oh, that's great.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah. And so we talk about all these events. I would highly recommend you to go to yumadovehunting.com. A great resource. All these events are on there. Common violations are on there. License requirements, just we have plots where people can hunt, agreements we make with private landowners, anything and everything you can think of, especially if you're new and don't know where to start. YumaDoveHunting.com is just a great resource.
I noticed it was great because it was simple and it even identified all the different doves so that you knew, you know, if you're, I mean, for somebody like me that was not as familiar, I went on it and went, I get this. I totally get it. I know where I could hunt. I know what rules I need to, you know, follow to hunt. I know how to get my license. I know how to identify the different doves. I even knew what all the limits were.
Yeah.
It made it super simple.
Very user friendly. And real quick, let's just reiterate what's required to go dove hunting, right? If you're over the age of 18, you do need a valid Arizona hunting license and a migratory bird stamp, which is just $5. We see a lot of youth hunters out there as well. So if you're between the ages of 10 and 17, all you need is a valid Arizona combination license, which is $5. That's it. You don't have to buy the bird stamp separately.
Okay.
As long as you're getting that $5 youth combination license, you're good to go. And if for some reason you're under the age of 10, you do not need a license, you can actually hunt with a fully licensed adult, and each adult can have up to 2, so technically 9 and under youths with them to hunt.
Wow. And then one other thing, real quick before we have to go, biggest violation that you usually see?
Gosh, that's a rough one. Probably the quarter mile one. A lot of people who don't buy the bird stamp, or they'll buy a duck stamp instead. Stuff like that.
Not interchangeable.
I always say that's why I always say it's the $5 one. So you're not spending, I believe it's like $25 for the duck stamps.
I'm like, they both start with D, but they don't look the same. Yeah.
You pay too much and then get fined for not having them.
And don't forget, how many shots are you allowed in your, how many rounds?
Three.
In your,
so the shotgun should hold no more than three. Two in the magazine and one in the chamber.
And so you better have plugs if you've got more than
that. Please remember to plug your shotguns.
Can I have two guns?
I guess I've never seen somebody.
I'm a bad shot, and I can't load that fast.
You can't load that fast. I don't think I've ever run into that, to be honest.
Leave it to Russ to come up with those questions. Is there anything else you feel like people should know other than self-report? We've talked about.
Yes, if you do something wrong, we all make mistakes, right? No one's perfect. Just self-report. It's the easiest. Less consequences attached. And overall, have fun and be safe. We'll be out there. We're not the bad guys. We're just out there to keep everyone safe and make sure everyone's just having as good a time as possible. I look forward to speaking to
everyone. If somebody sees something, like somebody that's out of control, you know, something that's hazardous, do they call 911? They call you directly?
So if it's something that requires an urgent 911 call, please go ahead and do that.
Will 911 direct you? Will they get a hold of you?
Depending on the severity of the call, they may direct it to us. If it is something where you're just seeing someone shooting the wrong species or obviously over limit, please call us. Every license has our Operation Game Thief phone number on there that you guys are more than welcome to call. And those calls get sent directly to the on-the-ground officer so we can respond as quickly as possible.
I hadn't even thought about that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, people out there and
it's rare. You know, most of our hunters, like you said, they're the most wonderful people run into. They're going to take care of the environment. They're going to take care of the animals. They're going to take care of people. They're polite, but occasionally you get somebody that is in the at the wrong place.
You shouldn't be amazed. Most of our calls that come from our Operation Game Thief hotline are from other hunters.
Reporting
people who are doing something.
They
the
want
wrong way.
The landscape there for their kids, their grandkids, and. They're the ones that are going to be out doing water holes and are going to be cleaning up and are going to be taking care of the outdoors.
Yes.
And not the Greenpeace people. Yeah. It's the hunters.
Well, and that's what I was talking about earlier is the hunters. All the hunters I know respect the land. They understand that if they don't take care of the land in the area, they may not be able to hunt next year. But if they have too many animals, if they bag too many, there won't be enough left for next year. So. And with that, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
And everyone, good luck this weekend. Have a great hunt. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KV.
Interest rates are skyrocketing. Inflation is only going to get worse.
War seems likely.
Don't believe all that's said in the media. Come back down to earth and let's cut the bull.
Visit Alexander Flightline Mitsubishi and get the real deal on any brand new Mitsubishi. We have plenty to choose from. We know we've got the Mitsubishi for you. Get your certified pre-owned Mitsubishi with us and make your first payment in 45 days. Only at Alexander Flightline Mitsubishi in Yuma.
It might be hard to imagine, but there's a place where you can find a restaurant on every corner. A place where you can eat like a king for as little as a dollar. It might be hard to imagine, but this is the same place where the school lunches aren't just delicious, they're themed, with palate pleasers like mozzarella stick Mondays, taco Tuesdays, and French Fridays. Heck, even pizza counts as a vegetable here. This is a place where the fast food just keeps getting faster. You can even order delivery right from your video game console. And how's the food, you ask? Well, it is to die for. Don't believe us? Just ask the friends and family of the 300,000 who did last year. Welcome to the state of America. Welcome to Obesity USA. Population 115 million and getting bigger by the day. To learn more, go to visitobesity.org. That's visitobecity.org. brought to you by the Pennington Biomedical Research Foundation.
Breaking their hearts. Back in 1 minute with your food chain question of the day.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
New Farms, Bob Hofstetter.
MetroFarm is filled with marketing and business management basics that entertain and enlighten. Case studies show how successful Metro Farmers persist and prosper.
Cheesemaker Todd Shriver.
Metro Farm is a well-researched one-stop guide to the business of small acreage farming. There is so much to this book I've found helpful.
Engineer S.M. Smith.
Metro Farm's business information alone is more informative and helpful than most books that specialize in business. Get this book. You will not be disappointed.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning Metro Farm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
According to a recent Mayo Clinic study, Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine was hard on the hearts of the young. Of the 301 13 to 18-year-olds studied, 29% experienced adverse cardiovascular effects like heart palpitations, chest pain, and shortness of breath. 54 had abnormal electrocardiogram results, 6 experienced mitral valve prolapse, 6 had high blood pressure, and 7 were diagnosed with heart inflammation. Question: which do you think proved to be the best COVID-19 protection for children? Natural immunity or vaccine immunity?
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.